ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision is bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Okay, so because it is the season of love, I want us to talk about the greatest love. It's a season of love. And this love that we're celebrating, self, some people have been ghosted because they don't want to give gifts. They have went silent. After tomorrow, people will come out again on Tuesday. And then we go, ah, what happened? Story will now begin, you know? But this is the kind of love that does not ghost you. It doesn't ghost you. The love is constant. 24/7, every minute, every second of the day. The love of God is constant. It does not shake. It does not waver. It does not lose signal. It does not lose signal. Anywhere you are, on the mountaintop, in the valley, you know sometimes we're in the valley. Oh, who has ever been in the valley before? On the mountaintop. We don't want to talk about it. Forget it. Either you talk about it or not. It is part of life. There are mountaintop seasons. There are valley low seasons. But even in that valley, God is there. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord God is my helper. I will not fear what man will do to me. Hallelujah. So, I want us to remind ourselves, because we know it, although we don't act like we know it most of the time. So I want us to remind ourselves of that love this morning. In this season of love, peradventure, there's nobody to give you gifts. God is giving you ahead of time, telling you, I love you. If Mr. Man is not giving gifts, or Mrs. Woman is not giving gifts, or guy, or bae, or boo, I don't even know which one. It's not giving gifts. God is telling you ahead of time, I love you. And that love of God cannot be compared to this ephemeral love that we are celebrating tomorrow. Turn with me to Romans 5. I'll just read a few scriptures as background, and we'll go from there. Romans 5 from verse 6. To 8. It says, for when we were still without Christ, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, his own kind of love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. He demonstrated his own type of love. When you didn't even ask for the love, you didn't know that such a love existed. Christ died for us. John 3:16. Of course, we all know that. But John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Can you give it to me in NLT? NLT coins this in a particular way. It says, for this is how God loved the world. Can you imagine? This is how I love you. He gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have. He says, this is how God loved. God loved by giving the most precious thing he had to us. This is how God loved the world. So You know, when God talks about husbands, love your wives, a lot of men don't understand that kind of love. Because he says, just like Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Ah, thank you. So how many husbands are giving themselves to? Do you understand? Men, don't be quiet. How many husbands are giving? Says, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So this is how God loved the world. He gave the most precious thing he had, his only begotten son. And I'm going to go into that. Because, you know, when we read this, we just say, hey, yeah, it's God. He must have done it because he knew that he could raise Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what you think, Abby. He must have done it because he knows that he can. He's God, Abby. He's God. Okay? 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1. Says, see how very much our Father loves us. See, he didn't use God here. He says, our Father. For he calls us his children. He says, and that is what we are. How many children of God are you? You know that you're a child of God. Okay? It says, but the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. But it says, see how very much our Father loves us. 1 John 4:8-10. 1 John 4:8-10. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. Same thing that 1 John 3:16 says. It says that God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. It says, in this is love. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. In this is love. I think somewhere in that 1 John, she talks about we loving him because he first loved us. So God gave so that he could get. Abby? He gave. He first of all gave so that he could get. So those of you that want to get without giving, sure you know that it's not working. Because that's not the order of the kingdom. You give to get. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, love is who God is. Love is who God is. You know, it's not God. Let me see that. Go back to 1 John, I think it's verse 8. 1 John 4:8. It says, God is love. So, you cannot separate love from God. Yes, we say that love is one of the many attributes of God. But God is love personified. So you actually can substitute God for love. Can say, it says, for God is love. God himself is love. Love started with God. You know all these things that we are celebrating now. Love started with God. We don't understand the meaning of love. Truthfully. Truthfully. God has always been love. God has always been love. God has always been love. You know, and love is not a mushy, you know, this mushy emotional feeling. I love you. That's not the kind of love that God has. God's kind of love is a commitment to our well-being. Is a commitment. Somebody say commitment. Is a commitment to our well. It's not an emotional kind of love. It's not like I said, he's with you. He says when you are going through the fire, I will be with you. When you are going through water, it will not drown you. I am there with you. So it is not a, yeah, you're doing good. you know how they say the good child is the father's, the bad one is the mother's. Mm-mm. Good, bad. God is your father. Good. Bad. God is your father. It's not an emotional kind of thing. It's not I feel like it. I don't feel like it. This morning, you did not greet me when you woke up. So because of that, today, I turn my face away from you. No. Mm-mm. It is a genuine commitment to your well-being. Genuine. It does not waver. It does not shake. It does not grow old. That commitment is new. It says the steadfast love of the Lord is new every morning. Every morning. It does not shake. No wavering. Sometimes when your spouse annoys you, you just turn your face. Some people live in the same house for months and not talk to one another and another. God will have mercy on your soul. You know? But it's not shaking. It's not saying, you did good today, so you are my son or you are my daughter. I say, tomorrow, why did you behave like that? You know what? You know how you lock your children in this? Go into the room. Just go. No. Mm-mm. It's committed to our well-being. Love is a decision. And you know, this is where a lot of us make the mistake. Yes, you may start from like an emotion. But by the time you get married, it becomes a decision. It should become a decision. It should not be based on, say, I fall. You know, that's why people fall in love and fall out of love. They fall into it. They didn't know what they were doing. So they will fall out. Eh? No. When you are doing the boyfriend, girlfriend, yes, there's an in those days, Seth, let me tell you, there was no attraction. In that time, back then, family will just say, this person is from a good family. This girl is a wonderful girl. And they will just do what? They will matchmake. So when you get there, you begin to develop feelings for each other. Am I wrong? Okay, so now we are very civilized. So you will not go and approach somebody that... The singles had a program here yesterday and it was fantastic. Kudos to the planning committee. I think I saw one of them this morning. You know, so now I like you. Like is a feeling. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision. And I might not like you, but I might love you. Why would I love you? Because God commands me to love you. Some people are not likable. I hope you know. We know now. Some people are not likable, but there's a command to love. So you may not like me, but you must love me. Because if you don't love me, you're a murderer. That's what the word of God says. I did not say it. You're a murderer if you don't love me. So, when we get to that, you know, that marriage, you decide to marry, then it becomes a decision. You own that decision, like they say now, with your full chest. Good or bad? It's my decision. You carry it with your full chest. I don't know why they came up with that one, Steph. What is the meaning of you carry it with your full chest? But I like it. I like it. Say you own it with your full chest. You stand and say, yes, I'm the one that said it. Okay? But God's love is not performance-based. And that's why where a lot of us, you know. And I understand because in our culture, like I said, they say the good child is the father's. The one that is bad is the... So when you are good, we are cool to identify with you. When you are bad, please, go. We don't want to associate with you. And so we think that is how God is. God is not like that. It is not performance-based. You don't have to earn it. You know, when this came to me, like, okay, talk about love. I remember that Whitney Houston song. You know, remember, the greatest love of all. It's easy to achieve. Even if they don't remember, you people should remember now. Eh? Whitney said the greatest love is easy to achieve. No, the greatest love is received, is not achieved. You cannot achieve God's love. It's not on a scale. Say you do this, then this. No. The love of God is received. You cannot achieve it. You cannot work for it. You cannot, we must be good. That's what we have been taught. I know. That's what we have been taught. But God, no. It's not performance-based. It's not performance-based. God loves us like he loves Jesus. Does anybody believe that? Are you sure? Do you behave like that? Are you sure? Somebody said, do you behave like, nobody can answer me. I didn't say it, the Bible said it. John 17, verse 23. That's it. That's something big to accept, that he loves you just like he loves Jesus. John 17, verse 23. John 17, verse 23. Give me in the NLT. I'll read it in two versions, NLT and TPT. It says, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Jesus was saying here, he was praying a prayer. This the entire chapter was about praying before he departed. He says, so that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as you love me. So God loves us like he loves Jesus. He says we're joined hands with Christ. Abi, we are seated in heavenly places. So if you know we're together, he loves us like he loves Jesus. TPT. Of the same verse, TPT translation. The person that wrote that TPT must be a poet, must have some poetic attributes, because the way they use words, you know, and all of that is just amazing. It says, you live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. Passionate. God is passionate about you. God is passionate about you. God is passionate about you. He says, with the same passionate love that you have for me. God loves me like he loves Jesus. You know, some years back, you know that John 3:16, we normally would just say, for God so loved the world, and it became, we just unwrote, we just recite it. If you don't know any scripture in the Bible, you must know that one. Am I right? But a few years back, I came to the knowing that it's not that God so loved the world, God so loved me. Because if I was the only person on earth, Jesus would still die. Do you get that? If you were the only person in the world, Jesus would still have come and died. So, you know when you say, for God so loved the world, so in your mind is the world, the big world. But personalize that. For God so loved me, that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. What is our challenge? Like I said, we want to feel it. Huh? We place more emphasis on, we put more value on what we feel rather than what the word says. You know, I read it for you now, that he loves me just like he loves Jesus. But in your mind, you're saying, cannot be. Mm-mm. Cannot be. Jesus is God. How can God love me the same way he loves Jesus? Mwah. Cannot be true. So we place more value on what we feel rather than on what God's word says. We believe that what we feel is more real. We are essentially, not an abuse, essentially carnal. Because what does being carnal mean? Carnal is not for sinners though. Carnal is for believers. You are carnal when you trust your five senses more than you trust the word of God. That's when you are carnal. So essentially, we are more carnal than we are spirit. It says, don't be carnal, walk in the spirit. We're more carnal. We're so used to feeling. We feel. I don't feel. We feel. I don't feel. I don't think. We must put the emphasis on ourselves. Hallelujah. And so that's why we struggle. We struggle. During the Volunteers Congress, they sang songs about love. This morning, you know, fantastic worship this morning. But some people are thinking in their minds, what? Because you are not feeling it. You are not feeling. Maybe some where you are self is valley. So you are thinking, if God loves me, this one will not happen to you. He can't tell me that he loves me. We feel that the love of God must mean that everything will just be coasting. You know, we'll just be on the expressway. Eh? In my Ferrari. We'll just be gassing. No. 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 We're in a fallen world. So things will happen. But God has said it before. He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Jesus even said, he says, I am with you through the end of the ages. He has said it all. He's not coming back to say it again. He has said it. And he expects you to just take it like he said it. Because he's not a man that he would lie. He's not a man. Once he says it, it is said. And that he says what he means what he says. It's not like me and you say, you know, in communication, you say, I tell you something, and then you say back to me, say, is this what you mean? Did I get you right? Yes, you got God right. He said exactly what he means. Praise the Lord. So like I said, God's love is a gift. We receive it by faith. And like Pastor G encouraged, we're talking faith all through till March because it's essential. We receive this love by faith. It's not earned. It's not performance-based. It's not I am good. That person, see her. Sister that went to get pregnant. God does not love her less. Yes, she may have missed it, but God does not love her less. What we do in church is that we have become God's judge, God's lawyer, secretary of God. So we are marking the sin. See this person. I say he's a Christian. Can you imagine? See how she's even dressed. Imagine that. We don't even know whether they are born again. You are not sure of their salvation. Because if they are saved, they will not do this. God will have mercy on all of us. So why is it that this thing doesn't seem so real with us? Because like I said, we have to align. You must believe it. God loves me. I am the love child of a love God. God cares for me. God is crazy about me. He's passionate about me. God loves me like he loves Jesus. Let me tell you, the first time I had a confession that talked about that, in my mind I was like, until I saw it. So it's true. God loves me like he loves Jesus. There's nothing I can do to reduce the love. There's nothing I can do to increase the love. The love is just constant. It's constant. It does not do this. Go like this. No. It's just constant. Praise the Lord. So somebody is saying, like you say God loves me. Are you sure? Are you sure? Jeremiah 31 verse 3. It says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Praise the Lord. I have loved you with an everlasting love. That love is everlasting. You stretch it and you don't come to the end of it. Psalm 8. You know, it is amazing that even in the Old Testament, David had a good understanding of what was going to happen in the new. He had an amazing understanding. So when God was saying that David is a man after my own heart, I kind of like, you know, say, okay. Because he put himself in that place where God was able to download stuff to him before it happened ahead of time. From verse 3, I want you to display that for me in the TPT. That's Psalm 8, verse 3. We're going to verse 8, so just continue. It says, look at the splendor of your skies, your creative genius glowing in the heavens. When I gaze at your moon and your stars, mounted like jewels in their settings, I know you are the fascinating artist who fashioned it all. But when I look up and see such wonder and workmanship above, I have to ask you this question. Can you imagine? Compared to all this cosmic glory, why would you bother with puny mortal man or be infatuated with Adam's son? It's not infatuation. He's taken. You know, infatuation will go. He says, yet what honor you have given to men, created only a little lower than Elohim. Elohim is God himself. He says, crowned like kings and queens with glory and magnificence. I am crowned with glory and magnificence. I am crowned with glory and magnificence. He says, you have delegated to them mastery over all you have made, making everything subservient to their authority, placing earth itself under the feet of your image bearers. I am God's image bearer. When you see me, you have seen God. They couldn't say it. Because I am his image bearer. He says, all the created order and every living thing of the earth, sky, sea, the wildest beasts, and all the sea creatures, everything is in submission to Adam's sons. Verse 8. What happened to TPT? He doesn't have verse 8. And he has verse 9. Okay, I think you joined 7 and 8 together. Okay, so see, David was wondering, God, why? Why this much love? Why this much attention, you know, to this being called man? Why? That was just the way God wanted it. And that is the way he still wants it. He has not changed his mind. If he had changed his mind, Jesus would not have come. Jesus would not have come. Hallelujah. Jesus would not have come. But this is how God sees us. I am God's image bearer. When you see me, you know, we call ourselves little Jesuses. Has anybody heard that before? Say, I'm a little Jesus. Because we're supposed to grow into that image, the full image of Jesus. God's love is unconditional. It has no limitations. It has no restrictions. It's unconditional. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are the reasons why we believe that God's love cannot be that unconditional? Because I know in our hearts, we may not say it out, but in our hearts we are thinking, oh no, his love cannot be this unconditional. It's not possible. Because even me, I have 7 children. And those 7 children, I don't love them the same way. Am I right? When you were growing up, you knew that your father had a favorite. Is that true? Speak to me, please. Is that true? You knew that your mother loved a particular one more than some people would do. They can get away with murder. But if someone's peradventure steals biscuits, they will beat that one as if they want to kill. Am I telling the truth? Not in these days that you have 2 children. Even in the 2 children, you still there's one that you there's one that you prefer. Okay? So why do we think that? We think that because that is how we love. That's how humans love. So we're thinking, in our estimation, we're thinking, this is how I love. So God cannot be too far away from me. And then, naturally, we just love people. Some people will just love them unconditionally. If you didn't love your wife or your husband, you would not have married. But you cannot marry everybody now. You cannot marry because you love some people. There's, you know, some people you just love them unconditionally. Some people, please. Hallelujah. We experience guilt because we have a conscience. So when we do something wrong, your heart, like the Bible says, your heart smote you. So you are thinking, so in this time that my heart, I'm smoted, it's not possible that God is still looking at me the same way. Hallelujah. And then we don't feel worthy of it. So I say, I have done bad things though. If you know what I have done. Yesterday when Pastor Dami was talking, he was talking about a guy in school that was a cult member. Strong cult member. And the guy, because he was a pastor, you know, the guy came to him and talked. And the guy was saying, I have done a lot of things. A lot of bad things. In fact, I slept with mother and daughter. So because of that, we feel, this thing that I have done, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy. I have sinned, so I don't feel worthy. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, the legalistic teaching we have heard. From time, we're all growing. I remember when we were in school, we have sisters that fail. We say, sis, even you. When I mean fail, I mean maybe they made a mistake, they got pregnant. You say, And so because they have failed, some people excommunicate. Some churches actually excommunicate. Some people will say, you are no longer a worker when you come to church. You sit at the back until you serve punishment. Yes, until you are restored. Until you are restored. So we have heard those teachings. Am I saying go ahead and sin because God does not? Look, the one that you sinned yesterday, the one that you sin tomorrow, the one that you sin in 10 years' time is already forgiven. But that is not license to sin. Because once someone loves you, you want to respond in love. And when you want to respond in love, you don't do the things that hurt. Like we say, God loves the sinner but hates the sin. God loves the sinner but hates the sin. So we have had these teachings over time. And we're comparing it with what happened in the Old Testament. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You sin, they put you behind the camp, outside of the camp. Because when they were moving through the wilderness, that's what they had. They had camps. So when there was a sin, you were taken outside of the camp. Praise the Lord. So because of the legalistic teaching we have had, we think it's not possible that God loves me like this. And of course, we don't understand the love of God. And for that, Paul had to, you know, talked about, there's a prayer, Ephesians 3. Because he himself, Paul, knew that God knows that it is not easy for us to get this. Ephesians 3 from verse 16, I think. It's one of the Pauline prayers, and it's one prayer that you should pray. Because when you understand the love of God, there's something that it does inside of you. There's a shift that happens. Hallelujah. So verse 16, it says that I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. It says then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. It says your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. It says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. It says, may you have the power to understand it. Because it's not something that you can just understand with your small brain. Our brains are small. Our brains are limited. We need a revelation of that love. It says, may you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to fully understand. Can you imagine? It says, though that love is too great to fully understand. It says, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. When we understand that love, we will now be made complete. In essence, you cannot enjoy the fullness of God until you understand this love. you cannot enjoy the fullness of him. And you cannot, and that power has been made available. You cannot enjoy the fullness of that love and power until you understand the love of God. So it's a prayer that we must pray. We must pray it constantly. We must pray it constantly because it is a prayer. If you read it from verse 14, it's a prayer that Paul was praying here for the Ephesian Christians. We must pray. We must pray. There was someone in the Bible that, you know, is quite interesting. John the Beloved. How many people know John the Beloved? How many people know John the Beloved? John the Beloved was one of the disciples of Christ. Abi? He was one of the three. There was the three, there was the 12, there was the 72, there was the 120 before he became, you know. So, John the Beloved understood the love and he had confidence in it. We need to have confidence in the love of God for us. Hallelujah. See how he used to refer to himself. Yeah, in fact, it's interesting when you read it. John 13, verse 23. It says, the disciple Jesus loved was sitting next to Jesus at the table. Did Jesus not love all of the other disciples? Were they not all loved? Were they not all called? But he kept referring to himself as the disciple Jesus loved. And if you go through the book of John, you see it. He had so much confidence in it. And that it is not a mistake that he was the only one that died naturally. Out of all of the disciples. You know, there's a scripture that talks about love being stronger than death. John was the only disciple, was the only apostle that died naturally. They put him inside oil. He refused to die. They brought him out. Eventually, they banished him onto the island of Patmos where he received revelations. But he was so confident in the fact that Jesus loved him. And he kept saying it. And he kept saying it. If you go through John, he will not refer to himself as John. Why do we call him John the Beloved? Because that was the name he gave himself. That was the name he gave himself. So, you know, he was too. And, you know, now I understand why when you first give your life to Christ, I don't know how many, the first book they tell you to read is John. Do I have a witness? I don't know. The first book of the Bible they tell you to read is John. Why? Because that is where you see the love of God for you. You are baptized into the love. You are baptized into that love of God. Hallelujah. So it's important that we build confidence in that love. There's something he does for you. There's something he does inside of you. Praise the Lord. And you see, when Lazarus, because in that same John was too, I think John was the one that had the revelation, that had the real revelation of the love of God. Because he is the one that, 1 John was written by him. 1 John, if you go through that 1 John 2, it's talking about the love of God. Talking about the love of God. He was the one that had the insight into the way God loved us. Hallelujah. When Lazarus was dying and and his sister sent to Jesus, he says, your friend whom you love. Did they have to put your friend whom you love? They were kind of like reminding Jesus. It's like, bro, it is me that you love, in case you have forgotten. But he doesn't forget. Hallelujah. He doesn't forget. So, we need to approach God like we know he loves us. That, you know, it's like, it should become like a mantra. You know what a mantra is? Something that you say. It's your mantra. Like John the Beloved, the disciple that Jesus loved. I am the, what am I now? I'm the child. Have you? The child that God loves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does this love do for us? Like I said, what does it do for us? What does it do? When we come to the understanding of this love, what does it do for us? Number one, our faith will not work well without us receiving God's love for us. That's why a lot of us struggle. Because, you know, when you want to ask for something, you're thinking to yourself, do I qualify? Do I merit? do I merit this? Is this? So you are cut short. That's why we doubt. You are saying, this one may be too much to ask. So our faith doesn't work well without us receiving God's love. Romans 8, verse 31. Please give it to me in the TPT. Romans 8:31. Our faith will not work well. He says, what does all this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me who then could ever stand against us? 32. See? It says, for God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. See that? If he has given me Jesus, there is nothing else he won't give me. Nothing else in righteousness, because God won't give you that thing that will kill you. So our faith will not work well without us receiving God's love for us. We have to come to that place of knowing that God loves us unconditionally. In fact, when we have sinned, so to say, the first place to run to is to God. Ah, Father, I have come. Here, Joe. And it's there. First John talks about it. It says, if we say we have no sin, we lie. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all iniquity. So, when we understand that love, we enjoy the blessings of God more. Because you are free. You are free to ask. You are free. You are saying, God loves me. He has given me his son. So what else will he not give me? Hallelujah. We enjoy his blessings more. We enjoy it more. We are freer. We are freer with him. We're freer with him. Praise the Lord. So before you even go to ask for that thing, you know that God will give you. Because if he has given you Jesus, what else will he not give? Hallelujah. We need to meditate and feed on the love of God. It's important because that is how you get it to be rooted and grounded in you. We need to meditate and feed on it. We need to feed on it. That is how we get it to be rooted and grounded in us. Mark 1 verse 10. Mark 1 verse 10. Oh, don't do TPT. Don't know what TPT is saying here. Do NKJV or do NLT. Do NLT, actually. Mark 1, verse 10. Okay, and to 11. I'm the one that... Okay, so it says, as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. God, Jesus had not done any miracle here. Jesus has not done anything here. This was like the initiation into. Why am I saying this? This is how God is. You know, Zephaniah 3:17 says that God sings over us. Zephaniah 3:17. NKJV, just... It says, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. It says, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Hallelujah. So, God is joyful, you know, about us, over us. Joyful over us. Joyful about us. So he's not waiting for you to do something before he's joyful. He says, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. God is rejoicing over us as we are now with gladness. Hallelujah. He's rejoicing over us. And we need to come to that realization. Ephesians 1:6. As I close, I think my time is almost. Ephesians 1:6. when you get home, you can, you know, and that's one of the ways to do, you just gather the scriptures, the one that talks about the love of God. Ephesians 1:6. Yes. So, Paul talking here, he says, so the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. Isaiah 49:15-16. Isaiah 49:15. It says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? It's possible. It says, surely they may forget. It says, yet I will not forget you. 16. It says, see, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continued. If somebody has inscribed you on the palm of his hands, what does that mean? That means that all of the time, because this is your hand, you know, all these marks that we have, you see it all of the time. All of the time. We should not look for validation outside of God. We run into problems when we look for validation outside of God. Hallelujah. We run into problem. Luke 15:11. I want to talk briefly about, just give me a few minutes, about the prodigal son. The prodigal son. I'm going to wrap up with that. Luke 15:11. If you read, we don't have time to read everything. Let me see. Let me go to where. Okay. From verse 17. Let me go to verse 17. From verse 11 is when it talks, you know, talks about, how many of us know the parable of the prodigal son? Two sons belonging to a rich man. And this younger one comes and says, Father, please give me my portion. Give me my portion. Before you die. I'm not waiting until you are dead. Only God knows how old you will be before you die. Please, 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 don't waste time. Give me what belongs to me. What? And he took it. And he went. And he began to lao spending. No, I get it lao. I spend it lao. So he spent it lao. And then when he finished, hunger now came. Famine came in that land where he went to. Hunger now came. Such that there was nobody giving him anything to eat. All the people that he spent it lao with, they had left. Then they, you know, the Jews, pigs, you know, God talks about unclean animals and all of that. So pigs is one of the things that Jews do not move near. But to see how hungry he was, he got a job feeding pigs. He got a job feeding pigs. And the pigs looked good. In fact, the food they were giving the pigs, if they had given him, he would have eaten. But nobody was giving him anything. Then verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. Continue. Says, I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. That's what we feel. That's how the, you know, the human nature will respond. He says, make me like one of your hired servants. He says, and he arose and came to his father. But he says, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know, I was reading this, and like a commentary kind of, and that commentary said, for the father to have seen him afar off, the father must have been looking out for him. And not only that day, he must have been going out every day saying, this is my son. He has not come. He was expecting him to come back. Even though he had done wrong, he was expecting him to come back. And he saw him afar off. You know, in those times, their houses always had a rooftop that he could climb on top. So he must have been going there every day. I haven't seen this son. What happened to him? I'm expecting him to come back. So when the father saw him, he ran. The father ran to meet him. He was coming to meet the father. But the father outran him to meet him. and fell on his neck and kissed him. 21. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, I am no longer worthy. 22. But the father said to his servants, said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. 23. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Hallelujah. This is the way God is about us. Yes, we talk about the prodigal son. We think that it is. No, this is the way God is about us. Hallelujah. Matthew 13. I'm going to end with that. We're going to rise and we're going to pray. Matthew 13. Because I need someone to see how valuable you are to God. Somebody is still saying, this cannot be true. It can't be true. Matthew 13. I can't be this valuable to God. Yes. 31. It says, here's another illustration Jesus used. No. It's not the yeast. It's a parable of the... Okay, just hold on. Yeah. 44. Let me see it. Okay, so it's 44, yeah. Let me go back to my NKJV. Okay. Yeah, 45. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is actually talking about God and us. God gave his one, just one. He gave it over so that he could get us. Hallelujah. He could get us. We're that valuable to God. God loves us that much. God loves us that much. And we need to begin to see ourselves in that way. I am loved of God. Hallelujah. I am loved of God. I am loved of God. Can somebody say that with me this morning? I am loved of God. I am God's beloved. God loves me just like he loves Jesus. I am the loved child of a loved God. I am the loved child of a loved God. I am accepted in the beloved. I am accepted in the beloved. I am God's treasure. I am God's treasure. God loves me like he loves Jesus. Can you rise up on your feet this morning? God loves me like he loves Jesus. God loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. Just as much as he loves Jesus. God loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. Hallelujah.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,